Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This is an exciting time of year at Ware's Valley Ranch. Camp Arrowwood is in full swing, and before the campers arrive, we have a wonderful week of staff training, and we've got a great staff again this year. So this evening and in the next few evenings, we're going to be sharing with you the devotionals that we shared with our campers this summer. And I hope that as you listen, you'll be strengthened in your faith as we talk about why we can trust the Scriptures, why we can trust Jesus, and why that takes away our fear. Let me read to you two passages of Scripture very quickly, and then we're going to talk about why I trust Jesus, and you can too. In 2 Peter, we read this: "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." And then the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Folks, this is not make-believe. This is not mythology. This is not wishful thinking. When we talked to you about the authority of Scripture last night, we said the reason that we believe the Bible is because it's true. Well, tonight I want to talk with you about why I trust Jesus. And the first point that I'd make is because of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Jesus didn't just live a remarkable life. Jesus fulfilled prophecies that had been given from generation to generation in great detail about the family that he would be born into, about the fact that his mother would be a virgin, about the fact that he'd be born in the town of Bethlehem, even if you go back and look in the book of Daniel as to when he would be born. Daniel had been given timing from God as to when Messiah would appear. God spoke all these prophecies from generation to generation, going all the way back to the garden when he said that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. And according to one statistician, you know what a statistician is? That's somebody who figures out what the chances of something happening would be. Okay? A statistician looked at this carefully and said, if you covered the entire state of Texas, how big is the state of Texas?
Really big.
If you covered the entire state of Texas in silver dollars to a depth of 12 inches, okay, so it's a foot deep in silver dollars all over the state of Texas. Got that? And then you stirred all of them thoroughly, all over the state. The chances of a blindfolded person finding the one silver dollar that had been marked specially would be comparable to Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies he fulfilled. You understand? If I give you my phone number, okay, starts with 8. Well, lots of phone numbers start with 8. Well, okay, 86. Oh, okay, well, that narrows it down. I mean, it's not 801. It's not 842. It's 865. Oh, that narrows it down further. So this is an East Tennessee number. 865. Got it. All right. So it's somebody who's got an 865 telephone. Lots of people have an 865 telephone number. Yeah, but the next number is 8. Oh, well, that narrows it down further. And the next number is 5. Oh, wow. All right. So 865-85 could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 0. Oh, okay. 865-850. We got 4 more numbers to add, don't we? All right? Somebody's thinking, I'm going to plague this guy with crank calls when he gives me the rest of the numbers. I'm not going to give you the rest of the numbers. But here's the thing. Every time we add a number, what we do is we narrow and narrow and narrow the possibilities as to whose phone that would be. And you get down to the point where only one fits. Jesus is the only person who ever has or ever could fulfill all those prophecies. And he did perfectly. All kinds of details about his life fulfilled specifically, including, as I said, where he'd be born, when he'd be born, what kind of family he'd be born into, the lineage that he would come from, and the fact that it was going to be a miracle birth with a mom who was a virgin giving birth to a baby. It took God's miraculous power to make this happen.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so, and he's holding out his hand. I believe in Jesus and trust in Jesus because of the prophecies he fulfilled. But that's not all. I also trust in Jesus because of the eyewitness accounts. Again, if this was just a story, it would be an amazing story. But it is a story told by people whose lives were changed. They went from being a group of unbelieving guys to a group who believed but were still terrified, to a group who not only believed, but their fear was replaced with courage. And they were willing to die for what they knew to be true. Because as we'll talk about tomorrow night, once you know Jesus, you don't have to be afraid any longer. And so their eyewitness accounts showing the radical change in their lives is evidence, powerful evidence, that Jesus really is who he claimed to be. Not only that, but the miraculous life that he lived, coupled with the amazing death that he died, and the proven fact of his resurrection. Person after person has set out to disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because all of Christianity rests on that event. The Apostle Paul himself in 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Jesus Christ has not been raised to life, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Don't waste your life following a dead Messiah. If Jesus died and stayed dead, then Christianity is a hoax, and you should not be a part of it. You'd be throwing your life away, living as if it was true and there's a future with him. But it's not true if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So if folks can just prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that's the end of Christianity, as far as real Christianity. But you know what happens to person after person who sets out to prove that it didn't happen? They get saved. They get converted. Because the evidence is absolutely overwhelming. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is beyond doubt for anyone who understands historical evidence. And so I believe in Jesus on the basis of the evidence. But that's not all. That would be enough to lead me to an intellectual conclusion. I can look at evidence and reach a conclusion. Okay? I believe, having studied history rather extensively, that Abraham Lincoln was a real man. I really believe that. He was actually the president of these United States. He was actually born here on this continent and ended up shot to death in Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. I've been to Ford Theater. I've studied the life of Lincoln. I was born in Illinois, and people in Illinois call it the land of Lincoln because they're so proud of the fact that he came from there. But you know what? I've never met Abraham Lincoln. I've studied about him. I've learned about him. I've memorized things that he said. But even though I know about him, I don't know him. You know why? As I said, he was shot to death in Ford Theater. He died. And he stayed dead. You need to know that Jesus is unique in the history of the world. Because having died, he did what he said he was going to do. He rose again. On the third day, Jesus came back. And he revealed himself to people who found it basically impossible to believe. When they saw Jesus, when they're meeting terrified in the upper room, and Jesus came into the room, they didn't say, oh, hey, everybody, it's Jesus. Hey, Jesus. They were terrified when they saw him because they had seen him die. And dead people don't do that. So they were scared. And they said, it must be a ghost. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost. Give me something to eat. I'll show you. One of the disciples who was not with them at the time, his name was Thomas. Thomas, when he found out that Jesus had come back and appeared to them, wouldn't believe. He said, no way. He said, I will not believe it unless I see him myself, unless I see the wounds myself, unless I touch the wounds myself. I will not believe what you're saying. Now, these were his friends. These are guys he'd traveled with, Thomas and Peter and John and Andrew and all these guys. They traveled around together. They knew each other. And they're all trying to tell him, Thomas, it's true. He's alive. Remember, he said he was going to rise from the dead. We just didn't believe it because it seemed crazy. But it's true. And we saw him and he ate there with us. And we know it's true. Thomas said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I'm so glad that Thomas was like that. Thomas didn't just say, well, if you say so. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I experience it myself. A week later, Jesus shows up again. And Thomas sees him. And Jesus doesn't say, I told you. Why didn't you believe? He says, here, Thomas, take a look. You wanted to touch the wound? Here, you can put your hand in the place in my side where the Roman soldier speared me. And Thomas fell to his knees and worshiped Jesus. Because Jesus is alive, it is possible to know him in a personal way. And my life changed when I stopped just believing with my head and started acting as if it's true. If I talk to Abraham Lincoln, Mr. Lincoln, I know that you faced many difficulties in your life. I'm a crazy person, okay? But if I talk to Jesus, I discover that he listens and he answers. You mean you can hear him? No. I mean, he knows how to use his word to speak to me so that I know what he wants me to do. Well, do you sometimes hear him? Not with my ears, but with vivid, vivid thoughts that are not mine, but they're his. They're consistent with his word. He says to me and to you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. One of the most amazing things that I've seen is the way God answers prayer. God has time and again put things in my heart to pray for. And as I've prayed for them, God has answered in ways that only God could answer. I'm going to go ahead and tell you one story real quickly. Okay? I've got a gazillion of these. All right? But this is just a real quick one. When God told me that I was supposed to resign my position as the pastor of a church in Atlanta and move up here to a piece of raw land and start this children's home, and camp, and school, and stuff. When God told me to do that, I was driving to the church with my wife to tell the chairman of the committee that I was going to resign. And my wife said, I've always been willing to go with you wherever God leads you. But this would be a really good time for the Lord to confirm this for me, to reassure me that you're hearing from him and that you're doing what he wants you to do. And I said, well, what would it take? And she said, I don't know, grocery money would be nice. And I said, okay, how much grocery money? And she said, 6 months. And I said, how much is that? She said, I don't know. And I said, well, how much do we spend each week? And she said, including paper products? And I said, sure. And she said, about this much. She named a number. And I said, okay. I pulled my car over and I had her do the math. Multiply that times 26, which is half a year, okay? 52 weeks in a year. So you take a week's groceries, multiply it times 26, what do you get? She did the math and she said, this is the number. I said, okay, let's pray. And I prayed and I said, Father, I know that you want me to do this, but it would mean a lot to my wife if you would confirm it for her by giving us the money for 6 months' groceries. Thank you, Lord. And then I pulled back on the road and drove on to the church and offered my resignation. That afternoon, a guy started calling me, a doctor in Atlanta, started calling me and saying, I need to see you. Can you come by my house? I said, I'm sorry, I've got appointments all afternoon and a speaking engagement downtown tonight. And he said, well, it's really important. And I said, well, if I get a cancellation this afternoon, I'll call you and come by. And he said, okay. Well, a while later he called, do you have any cancellations yet? Nope. No cancellations. A little while later, my wife called. And she said, so-and-so is trying to reach you. He says it's really important. And I said, I know, but I haven't had any cancellations. And I said, I tell you what, I'm coming home to pick you up to take you to that dinner downtown tonight. I'll see if we can maybe swing by his house on the way there. So I did. I called him up. I said, can we just stop by? Are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm okay, but I need to see you. We went to his house. I go inside while my wife waits in the car. He says, thank you so much for coming. We go in the other room. He hands me an envelope. He says, this is for you. This is not for the church. This is for you and your family. Do you understand? And I said, yes, sir, thank you. And I went out to the car, and I handed it to my wife, and she opened it up, and it was full of cash. And she counted it out, and it was exactly the number that we had prayed for earlier that day. Okay?
Well, that's a remarkable coincidence.
That is an answer to prayer. And it's one of umpteen answers to prayer that God has done in my life. Over and over and over and over, God has done everything he promised. And I want you to understand, the reason that I trust Jesus is not just because of the prophecies he fulfilled and all these other evidences. It is because I've gotten to know him. And when you know him, you know you can trust him. And I want you to know him. And I want you to trust him. Because he's real. And he's alive. And he loves you so much that he took the punishment you and I deserve by dying on the cross. He did that because he loves you. He does not promise you that if you trust him, everything will be easy. He doesn't promise you that if you trust him, everyone will like you. And you will feel good and never get sick and make lots of money and be really popular. He doesn't say that. He says, if you follow him, it'll cost you everything. But he says, but don't be afraid. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And when you stop trying to protect yourself and make sure that everybody likes you and that you're popular and that you're comfortable and that you're successful, when you quit trying to play those games that everybody else is busy playing and you just say, Lord, I'm yours. You bought me on the cross. I want to do whatever you want me to do. He will do something beautiful with your life. You may not be famous. You may not be rich. But you will be blessed in ways you couldn't imagine. Trust him. Jesus is trustworthy. He'll never lie to you. He'll never do you wrong. And you'll never regret it.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.